what you've put in him and for the gifts and the grace. We pray our hearts will receive from you something of your kingdom that will be a blessing permanently in our lives. Oh God, bless us this morning and let the power in the resurrection be revealed in this moment in our lives. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning. Happy Easter, everyone. People okay with how we started? There's joy in the room, and we love that because that's what God brings us. He's able to bring joy, perhaps where our situations and our lives feel gladness. And we're going to look at a story, the Easter story this morning, where the center character, Mary, is full of sadness. Because I just want to rewind the clock. 7 days. Because 7 days earlier, thereabouts, Jesus has expectant crowds hailing him, declaring he is the one who has come from God who will save. And do you remember last Sunday morning we cried, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna? The crowd were expectant of who Jesus was, that he would be a savior. He would be one to overthrow the Romans, to restore the rule of God to their nation. But on Friday, he was arrested and put on a cross with his hands pierced by nails, his feet the same, and our Savior dies. He's buried on the Friday evening in a tomb. Saturday is a Sabbath, day of rest, and it wasn't allowed to prepare a body for burial. Then the sun is readying itself to come up on the day. And it's here we're going to pick up the story. And I've asked four people to read parts of the story. So could they all come down? Sheila, you stay standing, you're going to start. And we're going to hear the account from John's Gospel of these four, from these four people. We're going to read the whole of the John's Gospel. And I'm going to interject it with bits of thought. And in between each person, they'll pause and there will be a question on screen. Early on the first... Oh, sorry, this is that of Sheila's part. Are we ready, Sheila?
Early on the...
That means Sunday.
Wow, it was still dark.
Early. Still got wrinkles on the face early. Likely the distance from the place where they've come from and the tomb would have been about a kilometre. You reckon they had their running trainers on? How long would it have taken? Personal best kind of time? They that have taken Jesus' body. Who is we? That's probably the other women. Why? Was he wheezing in exhaustion?
And looked in at the strips of...
What did he believe? Did he believe that Jesus had risen? If so, didn't he say anything to Peter out loud? Or did he believe the words that Mary had said, that Jesus was no longer in the tomb?
Mary stood outside the tomb crying.
Angels weren't seen by Peter and John. Maybe she was seeing strange things through her tears. But
ask her, woman, why are you crying? Taking my Lord away, she said. And I don't know where they have put him. At this standing there, but she did not realize that he was...
Why did she turn around? Someone must have approached. She'd heard their footsteps.
He asked her, woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for? Gardener, she said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him.
So this lady has woken up to the tomb, found a pair of angels, and not recognizable to her. Seen him on the Friday, 2 days before. Remember last week? His new body is not the one she was expecting.
Turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher.
She wasn't expecting Jesus, yet in this moment, upon hearing him say, would have been scandalous in the ancient world. This is not a detail someone would invent.
Hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. I have seen the Lord. And she told them.
Now fills her thoughts, do you think? Why mention the locked doors if not?
And said,
why does the resurrected Jesus say this first to his... Read the rest of John's Gospel. It's not how he greets people, or at least not who brings peace.
After he said this...
Jesus then sends his followers, missions them. Today, sending them not alone, sending them not without power to accomplish this task, but sendingers of God's reconciliation. He's here. He has missed the event of the century. We don't know why Thomas wasn't in the room, which distinguishes him from the rest of the group. Not yet seen what they have. And because he's not, he then communicates his own desire to see and touch. Not on the testimony of Mary. Not even on the testimony of the disciples that had seen him. Only on the touch of his hand to the mark. Finish that reading of John 20. Resonates. We go back. You received this invitation. Emily, then Charles, has helped us look. Isaiah, he was a messenger from God to the people of earth of that. Jesus is now God's chosen means of chosen people. They weren't faithful in carrying out the I'm going to help us take a little deeper into the story that we've just read using the last few verses of Isaiah 53 to do so. Isaiah 53, verses 10, 11, and 12. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him. So the Lord makes his life an offering for sin. The will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. Therefore I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bore the sin of many. The man who wrote these words down was Isaiah, and he lived 700 years. He speaks to Isaiah about a servant who suffers, is crushed by God. He isn't a person who lived then, he's a person who would live. Written about, it was prophesied about. Can't help but see Jesus now and think, this Isaiah wrote about. It means to make one again. Humanity is able to bring them together, to reconcile us. He does that, not through a sacrifice of a bull. Why, you might ask, did someone have to sacrifice their life? You might be surprised to hear me say that broken. Because if you listen to the writers, the commentators, yes, we were made perfectly by our perfect creator. It means that we have all sinned. Yet to a world which is broken, to a people who are broken, he's always stayed dead on the altar. Yet this sacrifice, the one who takes the sins of the world, might be forgiven and raised to life. He comes to life. Jesus is resurrected from the dead. Thank you. Can I get an hallelujah as well?
Hallelujah.
Yeah, it's great news. And Isaiah tells, though his life is an offering for sin, he will see his offering, not dead. And to clear something up here, it's not talking about Jesus' aren't literally blood relations, but spiritual seeds. Like the parable of the we are the spiritual fruit, the spiritual offspring. Next verse, verse 11, also implies we see the light of life. He will see the light of life and be satisfied. Isaiah predicted the death of the death. We're not sure whether Jesus is really God, if he really did rise from the grave. When you look back 70, does Isaiah predict it? Jesus himself predicts what 3 times in Mark's gospel. There are 4 writers of Jesus, of the life of Jesus. One we've read, John, that brilliant reading. That's one of them. Mark's another. And Jesus says in that book, say it with me, he's going to rise. Mark 8:31. He began to teach them that the Son of Man, which is an Old Testament reference that Jesus uses for himself, must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. And Jesus is saying this about himself. Later, Mark 9:31. He says it again. He's going with me. He's going to rise. Because he was teaching his disciples, he said to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. 3 days he will rise. And then another chapter later in Mark. With me, he's going to rise. They were on their way to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way. and the disciples were astonished while they told them what was going to happen. "We're going up to Jerusalem," he said, "and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers. Hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him." Say it with me. He's going to rise. And what happens to Jesus? He rises from the dead. He is risen. Hallelujah. What does this mean for you? So there might be, I don't know, 90 of you in this room today. There'll be a few others who listen. We've retold the story and taken time to do. Number one, Jesus is trustworthy. If you're doubting, like Thomas, meet with him and allow the truth that everyone, it would do it. He would rise from the grave. He'd read the scriptures, the Old Testament. He knew this prophecy from Isaiah and others of them, that he would defeat. Jesus is trustworthy. Secondly, Jesus is a hope bringer. Wins for us a future resurrection. They are feeble bodies, will perish. But then when Jesus will return, and the living and the dead will rise with him. And if you have said, on and the new has come. So if you are a believer in Jesus today, you've begun that new life. That is the hope that Jesus brings for our hope bringer for now. The name of Jesus to see situations change. People to come healed emotionally as well as physically. To God to answer. Every story I caught up with my friends who go to another church, moving to a different area. And because this area's got no church, no people who they know of who are believers, but they, as they went out on they were going to a park, walked into the park, school's just finished. "I'm a Christian," he tells in his story, moving lonely in Leeds with his children. And his name is Gladman because Gladman's father was glad that he had a son, so he called him Gladman. And my friend, that connection I'm sure will grow. But it's in the initial moment that less than an hour before they had prayed, would we meet? Didn't think there would be many Christians, if any, in this small story. Because if you've got, sometimes God answers a long time after we've prayed it. Jesus is trustworthy. Jesus is a hope bringer. And Jesus is victorious. Because Isaiah tells us that God will swallow up death. Later on, as Peter preaches to a crowd of, not long after Jesus has risen, and then, "For there is no other name under heaven." God can overcome the grave. He has the power to overcome any other circumstance. We may not see victory in the moment. Bringer of hope brings joy. And we can live for him as commissioned and sent. Be with you in this room and bring you. Let me pray. We say, Jesus, our eyes are on you. We're in the room with our doubts and with our fears. We're in the room with our needs. And we say, Jesus, you have come and brought hope and peace. And we long for more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.